My gang is here today. Totally to my surprise, I did not know they were coming. And so your guess is as good as mine. And Suzanne has something she wants to say. This is our daughter Suzanne, our granddaughter Ashley on the back row. Used to sing to Ashley. She's reading a book. That's how much attention she pays to us. Used to sing to her, "There she is, Miss America. There she is, our ideal." And she'd say, "Memes, I don't think that's true." So here's Suzanne.
Morning.
Good morning.
First of all, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, dear.
I'm going to read you something that I wrote about my mother. I did a series of books with a lady called Life Lessons. There's two out currently. There's one for grandparents, and this one's for mothers, and then there's two more on the way. And I wrote a story in the book about my mother, and I'm going to read it to you. "Congratulations, you are now Becky's son-in-law," I said to my groom, smiling. Growing up with my mother as a teacher in the church, I grew familiar with having the stories of my life shared with strangers. Sometimes not exactly like it happened. So on the day of my wedding, as I gazed into the eyes of my new husband, I jested he had now lost his identity as well. We laugh about this, but it still holds true. As soon as I say I'm Becky's daughter, the light comes on in their eyes. "Oh, Becky, I love her," they coo. I simply nod in return. Truthfully, it no longer bothers me because it is part of the character of our relationship. My mother, like everyone else, has her quirks. For one thing, you can't keep up with her in the grocery store. "Mom," I always say, "I'll stand in one location and just wait for you to come back by." She also sails a car rather than drives one. When my daughter learned to drive, her words of wisdom were, "It's only a curb," as they'd clunk up one and over the next. Then there was the time she forgot her purse at the top of Amicalola Falls in Georgia. Round and round we went back up the steep mountainside to the lodge at the top. My daughter never lets her forget that story. Nor the time she declared, "I never thought I'd say this, but this is too much mustard." And I have to tell you, if my mom says it's too much mustard, then it's too much mustard. Yet my mother is the most generous person I know. I cannot begin to count the dollars she has poured out over the years in meals. She purchased countless items my daughter either wanted or needed, and so many times she surprised me with some unexpected gift she remembered I wanted. I think most of my fine china and more half of my Christmas village came from her. If you want to find something, especially a particular antique, my mom is the person to ask. She will also get you the best deal possible. "Mom, I need a," and the next thing you know, there it is, and it's always exactly what you asked for. However, Mother and I haven't always seen eye to eye, especially in high school when my youth and immaturity pushed me away. I had such difficulty sharing my thoughts and emotions. I didn't think she'd understand them. Yet as an adult, at my lowest point in life, she was the first person I called. I knew Mom would pray, and I believed wholeheartedly that her prayers would reach heaven, whereas mine were falling short. That was a turning point in our relationship, at least it was on my end. I realized that day that despite our differences, she loved me. She wanted to see me well and happy. Working as the sole office staff in her Bible ministry for almost 20 years means sometimes we've bashed heads. Nevertheless, I wouldn't trade my job for any other. What other boss would give me the freedom to design graphics to my content or allow me to say no when I just don't want to do something? Who else would publish my devotionals in her newsletter and sell my books at her meetings? I tell people I listen to my mom talk for a living. However, the truth is I get to hear the Word of God spoken into my heart day after day, year after year. How special it is for it to be spoken in my mother's voice. Though I have heard the stories 1,000 times, I never tire of hearing them again. And she's such a good sport about the funny times, the slip-ups. There was the message when General George Washington crossed the Delaware River in the Civil War. Wrong war, Mom. Or the church service where a small child declared to the congregation, "I have to pee." How we laughed at that. I never realized how blessed I was by her words until I needed them the most. I also saw how proud she was of me when I stood before her ladies' group. Who else would allow me to take over her pulpit and shared how God had set me free from the bondage of fear? I am who I am today largely due to the influence of my mother and mostly because of the small things about her that no one else notices. We've never sat down and had any deep theological discussions. I can just see her face at doing that. Instead, we talk about furniture or television programs or recipes. She's always willing to bake a cake. I only need to ask. Yet it is all of that together that I love about her and everything that I have learned the most from her, that it's really great just being myself. Thanks, Mom.